Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 659. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including postage and handling. We've got music, I've got testimonies or letters, and a strong message from the Lord. All the words of the Lord are very important for us to know. Everything is important. Anyone that likes to discard some of the words of the Lord and throw them to the ground, you'll be faced at judgment time. We were just reading Romans 12:19 the other day, where it says, "Do not avenge yourselves, my beloved, but give place to the wrath of God, because it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, the Lord says." Okay, do not avenge yourselves, my beloved, but give place. Let God give place to the wrath of God. Let God take care of it. Just step aside and say, okay, Father, you take care of it. Because it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, the Lord says. This is from the Spanish Bible. Do not avenge yourselves, my beloved, but let God have some fun with these people. They think they're having fun, but let the Lord have his fun. Give place to the wrath of God. Let God have wrath on them, because it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, the Lord says. So it's far much more joyful to watch the Lord take care of the people that are doing you wrong. So we're not to avenge ourselves. Let God have his fun. Give place to the wrath of God. All right, so let's pray. Father, open the windows of heaven. Open my mind, my soul, my spirit. Give me words that will benefit the people in the world and the body of Christ, the church, the true church, your bride. Father, destroy the works of Satan. Tear down the walls of Satan. Tear him down and his strongholds. Let your words pull his words down. Father God, I pray that you'll block every move of Satan, that you'll heal the Christians, the true Christians, and those that will be Christians, true Christians, body of Christ type Christians. And Lord, open up great and mighty doors for us. Rebuke Satan and bless us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now here's the song. My young son, Sion, said the voices on the back of on this record backing me up are so good, he couldn't figure out. It sounded like something supernatural. And it was supernatural, the way this orchestra of ours was, and the choir. You just listen closely on, he said, it's not a synthesizer. You can tell it's a voice, but was there some machinery or something that made this fantastic sound? I've never heard it before. And he's a musician. On any records, he's a Christian first and a musician down the ladder. Okay, but here it is right now. Listen closely. His name is Wonderful.
His name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, a rock of Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
That, folks, it was no synthesizer. Those were these voices, like the voices of angels. And their names are blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So don't let the Baptists or anybody else tell you that once saved, always saved. It isn't. These people were definitely saved. They did a great work for the Lord. Then they started thinking about the old world, going back to the old world again. And they did it. And then even some of them started coming against the church. It's just so sad because, it breaks your heart to listen to how and to know how godly they were and so full of zeal to serve God. Just incredible. And those high voices, those are not, that's not a synthesizer, that's their beautiful voices when they were saved. They never sounded like that before, and they certainly will never sound like that again. So we just pray that we'll get another choir together, a large choir. We've got a choir now. A lot of the young people have gotten together, and we have, we're working with them with their voices. And they sound great, but we've never recorded with them yet, and we will in the near future. But I'd love to have a large choir, but it's not as important as getting the gospel out. Jesus never went around with a large choir or a big orchestra or anything like that, and so we're getting along without them. Praise the Lord. All right, we have some letters today. What's the first? Where's the first one from?
From Orissa, India.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear beloved brother, Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your great book, The Messiah, as well as the newsletters I received with great joy. I'm very much encouraged by your sound doctrine, which has truly inspired me. I am distributing your newsletters among college students. They are very happy, and it is changing their lives through your newsletters. So please send more newsletters and Bibles and some books, copies of your tape messages as well. I am doing ministry in Orissa in India. Please pray for my family and effective ministry. I thank God for the gospel literature is winning millions of souls all over the world. Thanking you in his service, CML Rayo from Orissa, India.
Well, Lord God, I pray that you will bless all the people throughout the world that are distributing the literature. The literature is winning, verily, millions of souls throughout the world. Lord God, bless them, build a wall of fire around and about them, and this gentleman here in Jesus' mighty name, this brother of ours. All right, you have another letter.
Yes.
And where is it from?
Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
And it's translated from French. Dear Reverend Pastor Tony Alamo, may the grace and peace from God be given to you and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given himself for our sins, to deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Galatians 1:3-5. I thank you for everything that you are doing for the body of Christ, for the whole world through your literature, and for the thousands of souls who have been converted through your ministry. May the name of our God be blessed. I always want to stay in contact with you to permanently be informed about your evangelizing campaigns. I would also like to take this opportunity to request audio tapes and CDs in French of all your preaching or whatever Bible messages you have. Thank you for your positive response. Receive the expression of my warm greetings in Christ Jesus. Remaining yours in Christ, Abo Romaric from Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
All right. You also have a couple of articles, just some one-liners from it. What is the one that you have next from the USA Today?
Yes.
Okay. What is today's date?
It's Monday, May 12th.
Monday, May 12th, and don't forget what year it is, 2008. May 12th, so that you can look this up in USA Today. May 12th?
Yes.
Okay, 2008. Because they may think this is a tape that was done years ago. All right, go ahead with it.
Okay.
A lot of people say, is Tony Alamo still alive? In case you don't know it, here I am, and I'm still kicking Satan's behind. Okay, go ahead.
This is in an article entitled, What Does Texas Church Raid Say About Us? It says, monogamy may be our societal ideal.
In other words, this is the culture here in the United States. But a few days ago, I mentioned that people are serial polygamous, almost, I would say, from probably 60 to 90% of the people in the United States are polygamous. They're serial polygamous. They marry somebody, then they divorce them after a day or a month or two, a year or so, and then they get another wife. And this is illegal because you're divorcing a woman. That's what the Lord is against, is divorce. Because you put the woman back out on the streets or wherever she came from, and she many times become prostitute because they don't have any money. They don't have any support from you. So that's a serial polygamous. But go ahead and start from the beginning again there.
Monogamy may be our societal ideal, but given the American divorce rate, quote, serial polygamy, unquote, is closer to the norm, often culminating in precisely the pattern practiced by FLDS, whereby the older a man gets, the younger his newest wife is, the pattern originally advocated by Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith, and Joseph Smith was not the one that got it. It's from the Bible. It's from the Bible. Now, Joseph Smith was the head of the beginning of the Mormon church, and then they had Brigham Young. And there's a lot of people that joke about that. They say, Brigham Young, Brigham Old, just Brigham. But in his case, they advocating young women just as the Bible does. And so you people have something against the Word of God. It's amazing how people that have never been anything or never done anything, they've never accomplished any great thing in their life. And if you preach the Bible to them, they say, you're evil. Oh, it is a man. You know, the man is a sex maniac. I'm not saying that I want to be a polygamist. I'm too old for that sort of thing. 73 years old, I'll be 74 in September. I'm just preaching the Bible if it's all right with you self-righteous mongoloids or you self-righteous monsters. The Bible says that a common harlot shall enter the kingdom of heaven rather than a self-righteous person. Why, you're holier than God, aren't you? Okay, do you have anything else?
Yes. We received several emails from a woman in Köping, Sweden, and this is one. Greetings in Christ, brother and sister. Praise God for his kindness and mercy forevermore. I am a sister in Christ living in Sweden. I find your ministry interesting. I noticed that you had some translation done in Swedish. I wonder, therefore, if you have any connection with some Swedish believers somehow. I would like to get into some fellowship with the right people.
Well, I led the princess of Sweden to the Lord, and I led her mother to the Lord, the queen mother, and I led her sister to the Lord. Her sister is a doctor in Sweden, and her husband is also a doctor. They're not married because they tell me that they just don't marry in Sweden because there's a huge fine for marrying in Sweden. You get a big tax break if you don't. They love to see people living in adultery and in fornication. They love serial polygamy there. So they have groups of people together that love that sort of thing over there. And in the Scandinavian countries, they think it's so funny for people to marry. That's how far away they are from God. And Birgitta Gyllenhammar was my wife. I led her to the Lord before I would ever marry her. This is after Susie died, directly, about 3 years after Susie died. And she was also a dressmaker. She had a shop in Beverly Hills just off Rodeo Drive. And then she had a dress shop, or it's just a clothing shop, very hip type clothing, on the Sunset Strip. She had a shop where she made the clothes over on in Culver City. And then she had a mansion in Pacific Palisades and a very huge bank account in Switzerland and other places. And then she decided that she wanted to backslide and told IHS, I can't go with that. She wanted me to go over to different movie stars' houses that she was doing clothing for. And I had a clothing store at the same time in Nashville, Tennessee, called the Alamo of Nashville, which most of the country western stars shopped at, and rock and roll people, and even people like Mrs. Douglas MacArthur and Jacqueline Onassis, and just many, all types of celebrities. It was a very successful store. The government closed it down because they felt that I was too successful. They also went to different shops. I was had my clothing in over 10,000 stores. And the FBI went to all the stores and told a big gross lie about me, saying that that I was using slave labor camp with children. And that if they, that's against the law. They never accused me of it to take me to court with it. They just lied to the shops and said, if you sell his clothing, we're going to close your shop down. This is the dirty rotten tricks of the Vatican. They run the FBI, and it's like Ronald Reagan and Bush, the old Bush and the young one, and Clinton, Alden, have given their full allegiance to the Pope, and they tell them, the Pope, they've all told the Pope that whatever you say, we'll do in the United States. This is the USA, folks. These presidents are not patriotic at all. They've sold us down the tubes. And they are war criminals, the way that, you know, if you look at it realistically. And this Obama is bad or worse than the other ones, and the same thing with Clinton. You'll see that this man, after he's been in for a while, is part of the Vatican. Both of them are. And this one now is, I've always told you that the Muslims was started by the Catholics. The man's a Muslim. His own pastor that he sat under for 20 years said he's just telling you what he wants you to believe so that he could be president. Actually, what it is that he is a Muslim, and he knows that I believe in Farrakhan, who is the head of the Muslim party, who has written books saying that we must kill all white people. And all of you idiots out there are just in love with this Obama. I have, we ought to put that picture of him with his Muslim uniform on, Obama. I could care less who you vote for because it doesn't really make any difference at all. As I stated from the scripture in Romans 12:19, we don't do anything to avenge ourselves, my beloved, but we give place to the wrath of God. We let God do it. We let him have the fun. They think they're having fun now, but wait till the end of the road when the penalty comes for what they're doing. They're lying through their teeth to all of you. They're just saying what you want to hear. Because it is written, vengeance is mine. I will, when God promises, this is a promise, I will repay, the Lord says. All right, so go ahead and read that.
I would like to get into some fellowship with the right people as days are getting darker and wilder. It's hard to find true fellowship around here as well. Please let me know if this is possible. May the true Lord, who's above all things, whether it be manifested or unseen, guide you into all truth always, at all time, and bless your ministry for but his own glory and in obedience to his voice. In his wonderful name be blessed and alert always. A sister in Christ, Gia, from Köping, Sweden.
Okay, let's get back to USA Today. Let's tell the folks what page it's on, what column it's on. And, come on, this is USA Today. This is the media that has evidently heard me on radio telling them that it's serial polygamy that's going on in this world. And now they want to prosecute polygamists. God is not against polygamy. He's against divorce. Polygamy is marriage. But he would be against polygamy if the man would not support his wife and children if he started divorcing them and putting them out on the street. So please tell us what page it is and what column, and also read it again, that part. And who wrote the article?
This is written by Mary Zeiss, Z-E-I-S-S, Stange, S-T-A-N-G-E, and this is on page 11A, and this is the fourth column, the last column.
Read it again. I mean, it's a long article, but I believe this is the end of the article, right?
Towards the end, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Monogamy may be our societal ideal, but given the American divorce rate, serial polygamy is closer to the norm, often culminating in precisely the pattern practiced by FLDS, whereby the older a man gets, the younger his newest wife is, the pattern originally advocated by Joseph Smith.
You know, it was not advocated by Joseph Smith. It was advocated by the Bible, by God himself. And somebody like Joseph Smith advocates it, and they say he's the one that made that up. No, he didn't. And I'm not making this up either. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And according to the U.S. Constitution, we have the right to preach the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody that's against the Bible, you're against God. And God says that you hate God. And if you hate God, the Lord says, all those that hate me love death. But you'll see what it's like in death when you're roasting forever in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, do you have anything else?
No.
That's it? All right. Well, now we're going back to the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, this is very interesting. Verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. If I'm telling you the good word of God, why do you speak evil of me? Because this is good, the Lord said, for me to preach the gospel. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Well, people say you're blowing your own horn. No, I'm not letting the good that I'm doing to be evil spoken of. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It isn't carnal. It isn't the things that you eat and drink, because a lot of people condemn people because of what the kind of meat they eat and the kind of drink that they drink. But righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is righteousness. It's not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is righteousness, doing what God said is right. And preaching the gospel is right. So I'm not going to let you let the good that I'm doing be evil spoken of. I'm backing up everything I say with the word of God. So, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace with God and joy in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. So as long as I'm serving Christ, I'm acceptable to God. And I'm not acceptable to you. But who are you anyway? It doesn't make any difference to me if you don't like what I say. I just love it when I know that Christ loves what I say. For he that is in these things serveth Christ. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now, most men approve of the Bible that want to go to heaven, all of them. So, verse 19, I'm not doing anything to hurt man, so they should approve. But, you know, the Muslims that want to kill everybody, all the white people, and the Vatican that wants to murder every Christian and take the Word of God out of school, and then say that we are a law unto ourselves. We don't believe that that these people that are our people, if it's our people and they're molesting children, having oral and anal sex with them, there are people, and we'll judge them. No, you won't judge them, because you're just covering, making up a story. Satan, you're a liar, and you're the father of it. You're not ruling against these people at all. Whereas in my church, if I ever got wind of any such thing as that, I would throw them out immediately. And that's what the Lord said to do. Measure people up by the word of God. And then if they don't match the word of God, you put them out of the church. So if they're against anything, if you are against anything that the Bible says, you cannot stay in my church. Verse 19, that isn't my policy, that's the Lord's policy. He said, put those that dispute about the Bible out. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. That's talking about peace with God. There'll never be peace on earth with man. Never. Man is not a peaceable type person. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you. And as long as I have peace with God, and as long if you, brother or sister, have peace with God, that's what it's talked about here. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and it means with God, and things wherewith one may edify another. Well, edification means that we tell you the things that make it possible for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's edification. Because wherewith one may edify another. We're supposed to, as Christians, edify one another so that the body of Christ gets stronger. Many people say that the people that call themselves Christians, when they see somebody wounded, they go in for the kill and they start wounding them even more until their souls die. And that's wrong. So, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace with God. Do you think you're going to have peace with God if you're murdering Christians? The Bible says if you hate your brother, and it means your sister as well, that the love of God is not in you, the keeping of God's commandments in you, Christ is not in you. And things wherewith one may edify another. When the Lord sees you edifying someone, if you see them doing something wrong, if you then you just tell them, look, the Bible says this and thus. And if you do that, you go to hell. Now stop looking or lusting after, I can obviously see that you're lusting after females. And you females, I can see you're lusting after different men. You're giving them big smiles and flirting with them. And you could cause their soul to go to hell. And the Lord, you're not going to have any peace with God. You think that you're so cunning because you've been like maybe a gutter snipe all of your life. Yeah, from the gutter. And that you think that you learned how to be shifty. You know, that you can hide things from people. But people that are wise, that are in the Spirit, can tell. I can tell whether a person really loves the Lord by just asking the Lord, is this person real or are they what they appear to be to my eyes? And my eyes are not that good, but my spiritual eyes are 20/20. Verse 20, for meat don't destroy, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. Everything that God said is pure. All things indeed are pure. All the things that are in the Bible that God said are pure and is okay for people to do. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. When you know for sure that it's going to offend somebody by you eating or doing anything that the Bible approves, but you know that it's going to throw their soul, then it becomes evil because you're not at all concerned about the person's soul that you're doing it in front of. And you may say, well, then are we supposed to be phonies? No, you're supposed to follow the word of God. That's not a phony. Verse 21. it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby your brother stumbles. You could stumble his soul, or is offended, or is made weak. Some people, you eat something and it weakens them to the point. For instance, there's somebody that has a problem with alcohol. They got saved and they're delivered from alcohol. And you know it. Well, you're not to drink any wine in front of that person because you're emboldening them to become weak again. That is their problem, and that's the thing that they should absolutely 100% abstain from. Because it's like alcoholics, if they're on the wagon and then you start drinking in front of them, they're so weak in that particular way that they'll start drinking wine. Well, Jesus did it. Yeah, Jesus didn't have a problem, though. He was not an alcoholic. He would take some wine casually to sit with the sinners and witness to them. He wouldn't get into their foolishness or anything. But if they were drunkards, he'd say, look, you know, that's your weakness, so if I don't do that. Verse 22, hast thou faith? Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Follow these instructions. Have faith before God. Keep your mouth shut. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Don't throw souls. Wait, God is able to make them strong. Verse 23, and he that doubteth, a person that doubts the word of God, and the word that I've been preaching a lot because people don't believe that, and it is true. And he that believes and he that doubts is what? Is damned. Damned to hell if he eat. If you believe that this is, if you doubt this, you're damned if you eat. Because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So have faith. Be sure of the word of God. Be sure you know what it means. It isn't just cut and dry. There's a flexibility in the Spirit of the Lord. So chapter 15 now. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. If you're, the brothers are weak around you, they're young Christians, and they just always can't seem to just let them, as long as they're in the church and they're learning more and more every day, let it be, and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves by telling them, here's how smart I am. You're weak and I'm strong. Now, the thing is you keep usurping authority and they say, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm weak-minded or something like that. Just say, well, praise the Lord. Read the scriptures and don't do it anymore, because that's the first sin that was committed in the kingdom of heaven. It's where Satan usurp the authority over God. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Don't just please your neighbor, but if it's going to edify him, it's going to make him a stronger Christian, then do it. Okay, now verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. So, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. We have to learn. You can't just say I'm a Christian and not want to learn. You must learn. It's written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, because the scriptures do comfort us, might have hope. We know that if we keep the commandments of the Lord, that we have hope that we're going to be in heaven. So, for whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we can have comfort and hope. I want to learn because the more I learn and the more I comply with what I learn from God, it gives me more and more patience and comfort of the scriptures, and that I might have hope. Well, it's very good to have hope. Well, what's hope for? For hope that you're going to be in heaven. The greater your hope is, that means the greater your faith is. If you've got faith, that's the main thing down here on earth, because faith gives us hope. It's faith, hope, and charity. Now, in heaven, we don't need faith, because we can see, and what we can see is not faith. And when we're in heaven, we don't need hope any longer, because we have that which we have hope for. But charity is what we need here on earth, and charity was the only of those three that we'll have in heaven. Just charity, love. Verse 5, keeping of God's commandments. We know that we got in because we had charity. We kept God's commandments. We love. That means love is the keeping of God's commandments. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation. There's great consolation. We get the consolation prize. We get to go to heaven. Consolation, grant you to be like-minded one toward another. Because the Lord sees you doing that, then he knows you have faith. And when you have faith, he blesses you, and then that gives you more hope, because you know that the Lord is blessing you because you're keeping the commandments. Toward one another. According to Christ Jesus. This is the rule, the commandment of Jesus. Verse 6, that ye may with one mind, and that means one mind with the Bible. Your mind has to be filled with the Bible, and you have to agree with the Bible. And if you don't, well, then you're not going to heaven. That's just that simple. So that ye may with one mind and one mouth, you all believe the same way, you all say the same thing, glorify God. It just gives glory to God when you do these things. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, we were all sinners, but Christians are no longer sinners. And so if you don't receive them, you're rejecting God. So we have to receive them. It says, wherefore receive you one another. It's a commandment of the Lord. And the Lord showed us the same thing, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Well, how does God get glory for that? Well, it's because he gets more sons and daughters, and it honors God when you show Satan and the rest of the world that you keep God's commandments, and you just don't keep doing the same thing all the time. That gives honor to God. Verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, of the Jews, that is, for the truth of God. Jesus came to preach to the circumcision, the Jews, to the Jew first. There was a Gentile woman that came to Jesus and wanted him to cast the devils out of her daughter. And the Lord says that the gospel is for the Jews, not the dogs. And she said, but the dogs eat from the crumbs of the master's table. And he said, great is your faith. He says, your daughter is healed for this, because you agree with the word of God. She didn't get mad and said, don't call me no stinking Gentile. Don't call me. He says, Gentiles are dogs. And the reason that they're dogs is because they don't believe the word of God. As of lately, you know, the Gentiles have become worse than dogs. They've gone back to their vomit. They've backslidden. They've become the falling away. They are, it's as though the dog that has gone back to its vomit. They're vomit-lapping dogs. And as the swine that goes back to the wallowing in the mire. They were saved, they were cleaned up, they didn't have vomit anymore, and now they're preaching a false doctrine and receiving a false doctrine, and they've joined up with the Antichrist. They're against any true Christian. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, a minister of the Jews for the truth, so that they could learn the truth of God. First, because they're the chosen people, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The fathers happen to be the Jews, the ones that wrote the Bible. He had to confirm the things that he said to the Jews, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and all the rest of them. Verse 9, and that the Gentiles, now he's talking about Gentiles, the dogs, might glorify God. Well, the dogs can be Jews now. They can become circumcised if they allow their heart to be circumcised. We no longer, it doesn't matter to be circumcised in the flesh, but the spirit. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Oh, the love of God, that he had mercy on the dogs. Now the dogs are making Christmas into a drunken revelry. And the resurrection of God, which of Christ, who is God, they made it into an Easter bunny. But that's kind of gone away. And that the Gentiles might glorify God. How will they glorify God? By getting saved and being a Jew, a spiritual Jew, for his mercy. The reason is because of God's mercy. You can become a spiritual Jew, as it is written. for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Well, why shouldn't Gentiles do that? God didn't have to, but he made a promise to Abraham stating that his seed would be a blessing to every nation. That's including the Gentiles. Okay, now verse 10. And again, he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. Well, is God saying that the Gentiles are not his people? That's right. You have to make yourself God's people. And again, he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. His people are glad because they're going to heaven. And his people, God's people, is the one that brought the Bible to you. And it was through them that the Messiah came into the world. So rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. You're able to do that now. But now you've turned against the Jew. You become the Antichrist. And God is not going to like that. Verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people, every people, all people. Verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Well, if you trust in the Lord, then get out of this falling away state, O you Gentiles, and believe the gospel, because the Bible plainly states that there's going to be a big falling away from you. You despise certain parts of the Word of God, and you don't like to, you just want to talk about smooth things. That's not right. Well, let's see. Let me put a marker here because my time has evaporated again. So it's time to pray now. We're going to take this up again tomorrow, the Lord willing. Just say to the Lord now so that you're no longer a lost Gentile or what the Lord calls a dog. And those of you that have returned back to the world, get out of there if you still have any power. Peradventure, the Lord will give you salvation. Do this now, which is a very Jewish thing to do, is to obey God. Say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the Son of you, Father. And I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I am calling on you. Therefore, I know that you will not turn me away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's why I'm one of them that's calling on you. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my eternal, everlasting soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord and give him all the glory and continue to praise him because he lives in the praises of his saints, and you've just become a saint. Now, Sharon, tell our listening audience how they can receive a copy of this program, number 659-659.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7370. 7406.
All right, now, if you noticed, yeah, I mentioned that the Lord is pouring out his wrath on the earth, and you can see the thousands upon thousands of people that are being murdered because they want to be Buddhists and Muslims and all these other false religions. They don't care about the Word of God. And one of these days, real soon, is the end of time. And this is when the Lord said would be the end of time. And the sweet chariot of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to come down and take those of us that are saved into heaven. And this is myself singing Swing Down Sweet Chariot.
Why don't you swing down sweet chariot stopping, let me ride. Swing down chariot stopping, let me ride. Rock me Lord, rock me Lord, calm and easy will. I got a home on the other side. Swing down, sweet chariot, stopping, let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stopping, let me ride. Rock me, Lord, home and easy will. I got a home on the other side.
Well, 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 Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy. Well, I got a home on the other side.
Well, well. Board. Chariot wasn't bumping on down the road. Zeke wasn't particular about the bumping on the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load. Why don't you swing down sweet chariot stopping, let me ride.
Swing down chariot stopping, let me ride. Rock me Lord, calm and easy. Well, I got home on the other side.
Well, I got a father in the promised land. Ain't gonna stop until I shake his hand. Rock me Lord, calm and easy. Well, I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me Lord, calm and easy. Well, I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy.
Well,
I got a home on the